We're holding on Gimelum of Days, about 8 lines from the bottom. We left off yesterday. The Gemara had said that we were talking about when did they count Daryavish's years from. So yesterday we started saying that they count from Tishrei. We have the whole proof from the story of Nehemiah that Nisan was not the beginning of a new year. Then we said, but don't we find two Nevuahs back-to-back of Haggai's? One stating an event that happened in Elul and calls it the second year, and the next one in Tishrei and doesn't say a year, so we assume it's still part of the second year. If the year begins in Tishrei, then it's already the third year. And so we left off that Kodesh was a Melech Kosher. That's actually why he was called Kodesh. He was called the Kodesh, I'll shame the word Kosher, and therefore they counted for him as if he was Jewish. Which would mean Nissen, right? The Maske thought of Yosef. So Yosef asks on that a question. Chada, you have two problems with that. Number one, de'im kein kosher kroya hadadi. Number one, then you have a contradiction between the psukim. First of all, we have the thing that we said before about the 20th year, but we have a different contradiction. Dichtiv, the pasuk says as follows in Ezra. The sheitzi beis adina, this house, meaning the Beis Hamikdash, was finished being built. Adyam tlosel yerech adar, that on the third up till, meaning it was finished on the third of Adar. Which is the sixth year of King Daryavish. It was 4 years after they started building it. We said they started building it in Elul the second year. This is now Adar of the sixth year. V'tanya, and then we learn in a braisa, but Oseh Zman, the Shana Haba, about the same time, next year, all Ezra and Bavel, Ezra started coming up from Bavel, Galusa Ima, and the people of his Galus with him. Actually, what the pasuk describes as follows in Ezra. It describes they finished the Beis Hamikdash on Gimel Adar. Then they celebrated Pesach a month and a half later with tremendous simcha. Then it says, "V'achar advar ma'ela b'malchus atach shasta." Then Ezra started coming up from Babel, and it says he started coming up for Shchodesh Nissan. He left Babel. So therefore, we know so the "achar advar ma'ela" means it was after the Pesach described in the previous year. So in the previous parak. So they finished it on Gimel Adar, the Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash. They celebrated Pesach 6 weeks later. Almost a year later, Ezra started leaving Babel to come to Eretz Yisrael. Right. So now we're going to see what the problem with that is. Incidentally, you might ask, so why didn't Ezra all this time he didn't come up to Eretz Yisrael to build the Beis Hamikdash, etc.? Why did he? We didn't mention it yesterday. We said that he only came after the Beis Hamikdash was built. But why? The Gemara says in Megillah, the reason is, we learn from this, that learning Torah is even more important than building the Beis Hamikdash. Ezra's Rebbe, Baruch Ben Neriah, the famous Talmud of Yirmiyah, was still alive. And as long as he was alive, Ezra did not want to leave Babel to come to Eretz Yisrael. But Baruch Ben Neriah himself wasn't able to go. He was old. So as long as he was alive, Ezra stuck around in Babel.
Neriah.
Baruch Ben Neriah. So far we have as follows. Let's assume then, so let's suppose then that we're still counting Daryavish's years from Nissan, or Kodesh, as we just call them. So we said then in that case, so the Beis Hamikdash has finished Gimel Adar. That's towards the end of his sixth year. Comes Pesach, is already his seventh year. A year later, Ezra is leaving Babel. That should already be the king's eighth year. And the pasuk says, "Uchtiv vayava Yerushalayim b'chodesh hachamishi." He came to Yerushalayim in the fifth month, which is of. He shnata shviyis l'melach, which is the seventh year of the king. So v'imis, if this is correct, shnata shminis mivarila, it should have to say the eighth year, because again, according to what we just calculated, Mela, if his years are counted from Tishrei, then we would say Adar is halfway through his sixth year. Pesach that year is still his sixth year. The next year, Ezra, then the next year is the seventh year, and Ezra arrives there, it's still the seventh year. It'll be the seventh year until Tishrei. But like this, it should be the eighth year. But oid, and second of all, Rabbi Yosef says, me dummy, how can you compare? You're saying Kodesh Melech Hashahaya? How does that help us? Hasan Kodesh Hacha Dayavish. You're saying Kodesh was a Melech Kasher. The pasuk was talking about Dayavish. So the Gemara answers the second question first. Tana, we learn in Abraisa. Who Kodesh, who Daryavish, who Artachshasta? They're all the same person. Kodesh, Daryavish, and Artachshasta are three names for the same person. Actually, so what it is Mefarshim, well, actually, why do they have three names? Kodesh Shemelech Kasher Haya. He was called Kodesh because he was a Kasher king. As we said, Kodesh rearranged the letters to spell out Kasher. Artachshasta al Shem Machos. So he was called Artachshasta as a kingly name. All the kings of Mitzrayim were called Parah, all the kings of the Plishtim were called Avimelech, and so forth. So all the kings of Persia had as their official title Artachshasta. what it means. I don't know what it means in Persian. I think it means like the true king or something like that. I don't know. Umashmoy, and what was his real name? Daryavashmoy. So therefore, when we say Kodesh Melech Kosher Haya, it actually, in a way, the word Kodesh Melech Kosher Haya kind of has a double meaning. There definitely was a King Kodesh. That was the original Kodesh who announced that they can build the Beis Mikdash 18 years earlier than the events we're talking about, 20 years earlier. But Daryavash himself also was called Kodesh because he was a Melech Kosher, because they were starting, he allowed them to continue rebuilding the Beis Mikdash, and therefore they also nicknamed him by the name Kodesh. And then he was called out the Shasta as official title, and his real name was Daryavash.
And the first Kodesh was also Kosher.
He's the one of which the Pasuk says the Pasuk in Yeshaya says Koyamar Hashem leMashichay leKodesh, that Hashem the Navi speaks of in great terms how he's gonna free the Jewish people from Golos, etc.
The first one.
Actually, there's an interesting Josephus mentions an interesting thing. That when Daryavash and Kodesh conquered the Babylonian Empire, and then Daryavash became king and Kodesh was his son-in-law, and shortly afterwards he succeeded to the throne, people came and showed him this Nebuah of Yeshaya, written down in Sefer Yeshaya from 150 years before he was born, mentioning Kodesh and how he's going to... And he was very impressed by it, that the Navi foresaw him, his rise to power so long ago, and that induced him to say, oh, Bazaar, you know, if the Navi said I'm going to do this, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to go ahead and do it, yeah.
It was written down. It was written down.
Mind you, I mean, you know, you have this is the, you know, because you know the Goyish scholars, of course, can't believe how you're talking. You know, a Navi would actually be able to predict something so far in advance. So that's where you get the famous concept of the second Isaiah and all that stuff. But yeah, we see from the story of Josephus that it's not so. Yeah. Also, by the way, speaking of Goyish historians versus ours. You know that one of the biggest contentious issues in Jewish history has to do with the question of the apparently missing 160 or so years. We say the Persian Empire lasted for 52 years, 18 before the Beis Mikdash was built and 34 after it, 34 from when they restarted, which is what we count. When we say the Beis Mikdash stood for 420 years, we count from when Daryavash gave permission to start building it again, and then it lasted from there 420 years, the first 34 of that of the Persian Empire. Goyish chronology, based on the Greek historians, based on things they found in inscriptions from the Persian kings and whatnot, says that the Persian Empire actually lasted for about 200 years, and instead of the 52 that we say, we only have four or five kings in it, Daryavash for a little while, and then Kodesh, and Achashverosh, and the second Daryavash, they have a whole long list of them. They have Xerxes the first, and Xerxes the second, and Artaxerxes the first, and Artaxerxes the second, and two or three Dariuses, it was Daryavash.
Xerxes
corresponds to Achashverosh, Artaxerxes corresponds to Artaxasta. Darius corresponds to Daryavash, and then there's a couple of miscellaneous ones like Cyrus for Kodesh. But we see from our Gemara you don't need all of that. Artaxasta is not a separate name for a king. It's not there was never a king Artaxerxes, Artaxasta. Rather, Artaxasta was his title, just like there wasn't a king Pare and also a Pare and a Choy and all of them. Pare was their title, and then they had personal names as well. The same thing over here. Rashi, by the way, also points out the equation of Daryavash and Kodesh that we're saying over here. The word Daryavash and the word Kodesh have the same gematria, he points out in Rashi on Sefer Ezra. Daryavash and Kodesh. The Dal of Nabob. No, the Kof. The Kof, yeah. Okay, so that takes care of that problem. When we're saying Kodesh Melech Kosher Haya, yes, it can be referring to the second Daryavash as well. Makom Makom Kasha, okay, but you're still back to the previous problem. How is it the eighth, how does the Pasuk call it the eighth year if it should have been the seventh? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak like Kasha, kan kodem shehechmetz, kan la'acha shehechmetz. One is talking about before he went sour. We're using the expression as if he was like a fine wine that went bad. Like there was a time when he was a good guy, but then he went bad. Kan la'acha shehechmetz, after he went bad. So after he went bad, then they started counting. Not became a goy. He was a goy all along, we're saying.
No, but I mean we counted him as a...
No. So we count him as a Jewish king because he was a Melech Kosher, because he was a good king. But once they found that he's not so good, which now the Gemara is going to discuss how they figured that out, then they started treating him like any regular Goyish king and counting his years from Tishrei.
What happened? What did he do?
Maski for Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana asked the question, Mi Hechmet, are you telling me that he went sour by the time Ezra came up? So what are we talking about? We'd be saying that in his second year, when they started building the second Beis Hamikdash, he was still good. And sometime between then and his seventh year, actually, when Ezra started coming up, then he went bad. How could that be? But the Pasuk says, and this Pasuk... this pasuk is actually in the instructions that he's giving when he's giving the instructions to rebuild to continue the rebuilding. What happens? I don't want to get too long into it, but briefly, the pasuk tells us. I was mentioning yesterday that when after Kodesh gave the permission, and the local goyim mastered, they're trying to rebel, etc., and either Kodesh or Ahasuerus rescinded the permission. Matters lasted like that for 18 years throughout Ahasuerus' reign until the second year of Dariavish. Second year of Dariavish, as I said yesterday, Chagai and Zechariah and Malachi were urging the Jewish people continue rebuilding. It's time. It's 70 years since the Churban. It's time to start rebuilding again. And they start. The local goyim over there come and ask them, "What are you doing?" And there's different beforeshim whether the goyish governor who was mentioned over there, Tatnai, his name was, whether he was coming to stop them or whether he's just coming, you know, fine, I don't mind you guys building, but do you have permission from the king? Either way, he writes to the king to find the whole story. They go, they dig through the royal archive, and sure enough, they find the original edict of Kodesh, allowing them to build the Beis Mikdash. And so Dariavish says, "Fine, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to follow that, and you can continue rebuilding." And Tatnai, don't bug them. So in his instructions, he says, besides that they're allowed to build the Beis Mikdash, he gives instructions for what the local governor in Eretz Yisrael should, Tatnai or whoever it is, should provide for the needs of the Beis Mikdash. He says, "Umech hashkan, whatever the kohenim need, uvnei turin, and including turin, this is Aramaic. Uvnei turin means young bulls, or shor in Hebrew, v'dichrin and rams, v'imrin and sheep, la'alavon la'lakashmaya for karbonas ola to the God in heaven, chintin wheat, melach salt, chamar wine, umshach and oil, kameima karnaya di Yerushalayim, according to the word of the kohenim that are in Yerushalayim, lehevim misyehev lahom, it should be given to them yom by yom, day by day, dilo shalu, and there should not be any slacking off in that." Without missing it.
That is according to that.
So this is actually so what it is that actually this is part of Dariavish's edict of what they should of what they should supply for the Beis Mikdash. So we see he's a good guy. He's donating generously whatever they need. So what are you telling me? What do you mean Hechmet? Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak answers, "Rebbe, betunach, from your own burden." Like, in other words, you're bringing me a pasuk that shows that he was a good guy. I can show you from the very next pasuk right after that he wasn't so good. Because the pasuk continues, why, Dariavish is saying in his edict, why am I saying that they should be doing all this? Why am I saying that the governor is there, that the government there, the local governors there should be giving whatever the Beis Mikdash means? Di leheva in mahakrib in nechoichim lalakashmaya, in order that they, meaning the Kohenim, should be bringing korbanos to Hashem in heaven, umetzalyan, and that they should be davening l'chaye malko v'noyi, for the life of the king and his sons. In other words, he's not just doing it l'shem shemayim, he's doing it for himself. So what's the problem? So somebody who does that, that's not considered a good thing. We learn in a braisa. If a person says, I'm giving this sela to tzedakah, in order that my children should live, or in order that I should merit the chayy olam haba with it, he's a tzaddik gomer. Then he's a tzaddik gomer. Now what does it mean? How does a person become a tzaddik gomer from one act of tzedakah like that? So there's a couple of different. Here Rashi says im rogel. If a person is used, it's not just on a one-time thing. If a person makes a regular habit of that, he's always giving tzedakah. Even if he has this ulterior motive, fine. Then eventually he can become a tzaddik gomer that way. That's how Rashi explains it over here. In Pesachim, where we also have this vart, Rashi says that what we mean is a tzaddik gomer as far as this mitzvah goes. He may not be a tzaddik gomer in other areas of life, but at least as far as the mitzvah of tzedakah, he's a tzaddik gomer.
That's not the definition of Tanya. At
least that's not the definition of Tanya. But even we'll have later in the Masechta that when it comes to Hashem's judgment of us on Rosh Hashanah, tzaddik is anybody who has more mitzvahs than averus.
Really?
Yeah. So obviously, right, that's not. So that's what the Alter Rebbe explains right there in the first parak of Tanya. L'inyan schar v'oynesh, when it comes to reward and punishment, we call such a person a tzaddik as a shema mushal, as a borrowed term, because we need some kind of term to call such a person. We call him that because he's tzaddik v'dina, because he's been shown to be innocent and righteous in his judgment, but not that he's a tzaddik in the real sense of the term.
And tzaddik
gamma. So those are two possibilities that Rashi says, either here that it means if a person makes a regular practice of giving tzedakah like that, and then that makes him a tzaddik gomer, and in Pesachim Rashi says that he's a tzaddik gomer in the sense of he's a tzaddik as far as this one mitzvah, Rabbi Nachmanano has a girsa that instead of Rabbi Nachmanano says that there were, that some have the girsa. Yeshem Afershan has a tzedakah gemurah. Not the person is a tzaddik, but the tzedakah is a full fledged tzedakah. So in that case, so what if Joyavish or Kodesh or whatever you want to call them is saying they should give all these karbonis in order that the Kohenim should daven for the life and the health of the royal family? Big deal. What's the problem?
So this we're talking about for a year, not for a year.
That's the answer. Loikasha can be Yisrael, can be Ovid Kechavim. Not a question. One is talking about a year, one is talking about a goy. What's the difference? So why are we discriminating? Okay. Rashi says like this. Because a year, after all, wants to do mitzvahs. There's a famous thing of the Rambam that a yid deep down always wants to do mitzvahs. So therefore, so what happens? A yid gives tzedakah, and then in the end, something not so good happens to him. He won't say, ugh, you know what? I shouldn't have bothered giving that tzedakah. He'll realize, you know what? I mean, after all, I know I'm not acting the way I should always. You know, it's true I did mitzvahs, but you know, I also know I'm not always doing the right thing. You know, the Eibishter Baruch Dynamis. You know, the Eibishter Gamzul Latoyva, etc. A goy doesn't do that. A goy, if he doesn't get what he wants, then he regrets. You know, how you talk and why did I even bother ever doing the mitzvah? Hashem doesn't judge fairly, etc. There's a similar kind of thing. It's brought. Rashi brings it on the pesukim in Malachim, based on a Gemara that Shlomo Malach, when he was by the Chanukah Abayis, so the first Beis Hamikdash, he davened there that if a yid comes to the Beis Hamikdash to daven, then you should listen to his tefillah. But if a goy comes to daven by the Beis Hamikdash, you should do what he wants. And Rashi says there, based on a Gemara, I don't know where the Gemara is, same idea. If a yid comes to the Beis Hamikdash and he davens, Hashem should listen to his tefillah. But if a goy comes, not only Hashem should listen, but Hashem should do what he wants. Right. Same idea, because if a yid comes to the Beis Hamikdash and he davens and he still doesn't get what he wants, he knows, you know, listen, Gamzul will tell you, but the Eibishter runs the world. A goy is going to think, you know, the whole thing hates the Mishnah. So over here, as we said yesterday, we're talking about over here, we're considering Dayavesh a goy, either because, you know, either according to the opinions that in fact his mother was not Esther, or according to the opinions that his mother was Esther, because not necessarily is such a person considered a yid lahalacha. The actual final halacha is yid, ma'isim b'chol yom, unfortunately, that there are people whose fathers are goyim, and yet we consider them 100% Jews. But as there are opinions of Rishonim and Achronim who say not so.
I
said yesterday, yeah, we have, there are opinions, there are Rishonim who explain that when the Gemara says that a goy v'eved abab af Yisrael avlad kosher, doesn't mean a kosher a yid, it means a kosher a goy, it just means he's not a mamzer. But he still needs geirus. If he becomes a geir, though, he won't be a mamzer. Of the child, yeah. And then there's the opinion also I mentioned of Maharit Al-Ghazi, who says that it depends how he's raised. In this case, Naryabash was being raised as a goy in the palace, so therefore he's considered a goy. But even
the first opinion,
I don't remember. It's some of the Rishonim. I don't remember which ones. And then the other possibility is again that we're talking that after all, Dalyavish was not Esther's son. Either, you know, Ahasuerus Mishpana had a lot of wives. He had over there, you know, he had the whole base on Nashim Sheni.
Right.
Or the thing from the Zohar about a shed, etc. Yeah. Tosfos asks over here, what are you talking about? What do you mean that if you say if I'm giving tzedakah b'shvil shiyuchu bana, you're a tzaddik gomer? What happened to what it says in Pirkei Avos? Al tiyu kavodim amasham shenasadav amanasa kavod prat. So Tosfos says, in fact, that Mishnah is also talking about goyim. Now the obvious question: what do you mean Pirkei Avos is addressed to goyim? Pirkei Avos is addressed to us Jews. So on that, there's a lot of different answers. One is the Gemara doesn't mean that Tosfos doesn't necessarily mean only goyim. It means people with that kind of mentality. Meaning apparently, in other words, it could even be Yidden, but people who think, Yidden who think that way. The other possibility many Mepharshim talk about is that Pirkei Avos is merely the Chassidusa. Or Gemara is saying over here that if a person gives Tzedakah, B'shvil Sheyuchu Bana, etc., then he's a Tzaddik Gomer. But Pirkei Avos wants you to go beyond being a Tzaddik. There's a higher level than a Tzaddik, and that is to be a Chassid. To be a Chassid, you have to serve Hashem, Shalom, and ask the Kavaprat. There's other explanations also. The Aruch Laner says a chassidish kind of vote. He says there's a difference between you doing avoda asking for reward versus you doing avoda saying, therefore Hashem, give me more life in order that I'll be able to serve you more. That's the kind of thing we're talking about over here. First thing, in effect, he's not asking for reward per se. He's asking for the ability to serve the Eibishter more. That's a good thing. as opposed to. And Pirkei Avos is talking about you asking for a side thing. I'm doing this mitzvah, therefore, you know, therefore let me win the lottery or something. So therefore, so based on that, yes, we can see from that that in fact the Yavash went bad. That he is giving all this generous stuff for the Bais HaMikdash, but he's doing it for ulterior motives. And we're saying, as a guy, we suspect therefore that you know the fact that he has ulterior motives is a problem. It means that therefore, if one of his kids ends up dying, he's going to regret. He's going to say, the Yavash is unjust.
But on the other hand, you can say as a guy, he still believed in God of Israel.
Very nice, but then that's, you know, we're saying originally they thought that he's good, but then yeah. The Ibo is saying, or another possibility, no one to Achmis, how do we know, where do we see that Dayavish went bad? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, this is also in his instructions for the building of the Bais HaMikdash. This Pasuk, actually, this next Pasuk we're going to quote, actually comes from the original Kodesh's edict to build the Bais HaMikdash, which they found in the archives over there. But since Dayavish is redoing it, then we're calling it on his name. What does it say? Nidbachin the Evan Glotlosa, the walls should be built out of three rows of marble stones. The Nidbach the Ochados and one row of wood. The Nifkasum and Base Markatis Yahav and the expenses should be paid out of the royal palace. Now, Lomalay Avid Hachi, now why did he do that? Evan Gola means marble, yeah. So Lomalay Avid Hachi, so why did he do that? Why if it's marble and then wood? Because he's figuring, if the Jews rebel against me, then I'll burn the Bais HaMikdash down in fire. So therefore, he wanted it to be flammable. So we see that he was a Rasha.
That's why he put the wood.
That's why he put the wood.
And the marble.
The marble is just okay. You know, you can't build the whole thing out of wood. He knows it has to look nice, but he put wood in there in order. So what's the problem? Didn't Shlomo HaMelech do the same thing? It says by the first Bais HaMikdash. Shloisha Turei Gozis V'Tur Krusis HaRozim. There were three rows of carved stones, of hewn stones, and one row of cut beams of cedar. So Shlomo also used wood, and obviously you're not saying by him it was a problem. The answer is, and the Gemara says, and Tosfos says, we don't have Pesukim to prove these next points, but the Gemara knew it for Kabbalah. Shlomo Oved Milamayla. Shlomo put the wood on top. Iu Oved Milamata. Dayavish had to put the wood on bottom. So on top, there's not going to be a problem. Yeah, on top, there's no problem. Exactly. Even if the wood catches on fire, yeah, the whole thing won't burn down. If the fire goes upward, but you put the wood on bottom, then yeah, the whole thing is gone, yeah. Shlomo shakei b'vinyana. Shlomo buried the wood into the building. In other words, there's wood over there, but it's recessed in. It's not like sticking out. Did not have them do that. He had the wood actually out there.
So he designed actually the.
No, but he told them the instructions. So he told them. So within, I mean, they had the Hakol B'Ksaf Miyad Hashem Alayhi skill. There was a certain blueprint that Abishta gave, but within that, you know, there was certain details. We have, for example, the famous thing that one of the gates of the Harabayas, Shar Shushan, was called that because they put a picture of Shushan Abira on it. That was also that they should that Yavash ordered that they should do that in order that they should remember where they came from and not rebel against him. And one more, Shlomo Sadia Besida. Shlomo covered up plastered the wood, covered it with plaster. You like Sadia Besida, and Dayavish did not. They did not have them do that. So therefore, we see from all of that, the point is he wanted the wood to be exposed so that it would be possible to be flammable. Yeah. In Chassidus, there's a very interesting thing that Alter Rebbe brings in a mimer in Torah Ur, and then he discusses in more detail in a different mimer. The deeper idea is the Mishkan was built out of, the Mishkan included Doimim and Semeach and Chai. There was gold and silver and copper, which is Doimim. There's the animal skins, which is Chai. There's the flax and whatever. But the Bais HaMikdash was supposed to all be built out of Doimim, all out of stone, because that's all out of minerals, because that's the lowest level of what exists in the world, and therefore it represents the Bittul, the ultimate Bittul that we have to the Eibishter. And there's also the idea that it brings, that the Altadeva brings in Igeres HaKodesh Chof, that the Doimim, actually it's brought all over the place in the Siddur, that the Doimim, which is the lowest part of our world, represents the highest levels of all the course. So by he telling them to add wood in this way and making it exposed like that, is like undermining that whole concept.
Wood is also a mineral.
Wood is not a mineral. Wood is from the vegetable kingdom. Wood grows. It's not from a tree.
What is?
Right now it's cut down, but so what? They have the skins are also. No, but it's not bottle.
Wood is not as buffalo as a mineral.
No, because wood had a certain highest state at one point, yeah. So again, therefore, we see that. So again, therefore, we see that he went down. Which, I mean, so far these are instructions that have to do with the building of this mikdash. So what are we saying then? There was a time when he was good and then he went bad. It sounds like right from the beginning, as soon as the answer is, before I should say that, yeah, originally they thought he was good. Once they looked into these details, they started realizing, you know, it's not. Yeah, basically, yeah. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Tamer Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Yosef, or some say Rabbi Yitzchok said he was a third way that we get Menolan to Ahmed. Mehacha. How do we know that he became Chometz? How do we know that he became sour, that he became a Rasha? From the following. This is, we quoted this pasuk yesterday. This is talking about Nehemiah. This is, again, you know, according to Tosfos, his first explanation. This is while they were building the Mikdash, and according to the second explanation, it was 14 years later. He says, Vayomel Yamelach, the king said to me, Vashegol Yeshevet Etzlei, and the Shegol was sitting next to him. Now, yesterday we said that the simple meaning of Shegol is queen. But my Shegol, Omer Rav Balema Meshmeh Rav, it means Kalbasa. It means a female dog. He was having relations with it, which is also even to Bnei Noach. Behold the Basar Echad, Rashi quotes the pasuk. Actually, Beforshim point out an interesting thing. The original Kodesh, the whole long story that's brought in different places. I think it's brought in Sefer Yashar and Yosefu and different books like that. That Kodesh actually was, to make a long story short, he was an illegitimate grandson of the king of Madai. He was abandoned out in the field, and a female dog found him and nursed him, sort of like the famous legend about the founders of Rome, Remus and Romulus, who were nursed by a wolf. Similar idea, and that's why the story goes that's why they called him Kodesh, because Kodesh is the Persian word for a dog. So therefore, I mean, this is what we're talking about Daryavish years later, but since we said before that he had the name Kodesh also, evidently he had a certain affinity towards dogs. You might ask why. Elamai after, how about, according to that then, if you're going to say this word Shegol means a dog, then what about Hadachtiv? What about this that it says in a pasuk in Daniel? This is talking about Belshazzar's party over there. He brought out all the Kalim of the Besmithesh. He thought the 70 years of Golos Bava were over. So he had this whole riotous party with the Kalim over there. In the middle, the hand comes and writes on the woman name and aids Caleb Parasir, and they call him Daniel. And Daniel gives it to Belshazzar. Tells him where he went wrong. He rips him a new one. He tells him, look, you know, you're Zayda Nebuchadnezzar was a total absolute Russia, but he was forced to realize that there's a Hanan and Gustav involved. You know, he was the story of Hanani Mishal Vazaria when he himself turned into an animal for 7 years. Yeah, he was forced to eventually realize that that the Ebishter runs the world. You should have learned from that, and you didn't. You have the chutzpah to take the kalim of the Bismikdash and use them for your party over here.
And therefore,
he says, this is what Menei Menei Tekel Paris. It means that you're finished. The Eibishter has weighed you, the Eibishter has found you wanting, and you're going to be destroyed. That's apparently not, which actually, I guess, is sort of a point in his favor, but yeah. Anyway, so in Daniel's speech, he says as follows. Va'almorish maya history manta, against the master of heaven, meaning Hashem, you raise yourself up. Well, the monayer debase haysiv kadamach, they brought the kalim of his house before you, the ant, the raver vanach, and you and your nobleman, shegelosech, your shegel, ul chenosech, and your concubines, chamra shatya, and behind are all drinking wine in them. What a chutzpah. Now, he mentions shegelosech. That's what Daniel was telling Belshazzar. What a chutzpah that you did. Now, the question is, the shegel kalbasa, if the word shegel means a female dog, kalbasa bas mishti chamra hi, do dogs drink wine?
His calling is dog.
You have a
call person.
No. He's not going to be doing that.
A real dog.
I think Mark says no. It's not such a big deal. The mouthful of a shafter. You can train a dog. You know, if you can train a dog to walk out of hind legs, then you can train a dog to drink out of a cup. Okay, the Gemara says, Elamai after, well then how about another pasuk in Tanakh where it uses the word shegel? This is a pasuk in Tilim. Bnois Molochim Bikrei Secha, daughters of kings, this is a kapitel that's talking about Mashiach Saitan, Lamaseach Nekar Achal Sheshanim Maskel Shuyu Didis, Rocha Shlibi Dava Toiv, etc. The whole kapitel was talking about the greatness of Mashiach and the greatness of the Jewish people in that time. Kapitel Menhei. So Bnois Molochim Bikrei Secha, the daughters of kings will be honoring you, Bikrei Secha Moloshim Yoker, La'asad Lava, or some of Arshim, I think Rashi himself on the pasuk there says that Bikrei Secha Moloshim Biker, they'll be visiting you. Anyway, Nitzva Shegel Limincha, the Shegel stands at your right hand, Bekesm Ofer, in gold of Ofer, very precious gold. Shego Kalbasa here, for Shego means a female dog. My Kamavasa Ululama Yisrael. What kind of a promise is that? That every Yid is going to have a female dog next to him? Well, I should love it. Hachikama, the Gemara says, that's not a problem. You could still say that Shego means dog. V'tzchar shechaviva Torah Yisrael, Shego lo'ibik achavim. Because as a tzchar for the fact that a shegel, that the Torah is as precious to us Jews as a shegel is to the goyim, zechisim lechesim ofer. In the schus of that, you deserve that gold of ofer. Now, why of all things are we comparing the relationship between a yid and the Torah to a relationship between a goy and his dog? There's a couple of different things that Mefarshim say. One of the Maral says about that the thing that we're talking about over here, Dayavish with his female dog, and Belshazzar with his, represents the depth of Koyuchas of Truma that the Goyim get into. So we have corresponding to that, the Koyuchas of Kedusha of Torah. Ben Yehoyada says, there's a different vote, he says, a goy like Dayavish with his dog doesn't mind, even if everybody behind his back laughs at him for, you know, that he's lowering himself like that. Lahavdo, we are the same kind of thing. We're mevaza ourselves for the sake of the Torah. He mentions the famous thing about Rashi's Rebbe, we sweep out the own kodesh with his beard. You know, we're willing to be mevaza ourselves for the sake of the Torah. Yeah. The Ebo is same, and the Gemara says, or I can give you another possibility. La'olam shego malkasi. No, the word shego really does usually mean a queen. In the pasuk in Tehillim, it means the queen stands at your right hand. In the pasuk in Zaniel by Belshazzar, also it means your queen, not your dog, but your queen drank from it. The Rab Balima Gemara Gamarla. In this particular case of Dayavish, Rab Balima had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe, from Rab, that this is what it means. That it means a dog in this one place. So out of the three places in Tanakh where it uses the word shegel, in this one it means dog. The other two it means a queen. V'amai karla shegel. So then why is it called a shegel? If the word shegel usually means a queen, then why over here all of a sudden are we saying it means a dog? Shoyis ha-chaviv olav shegel. It means that Dayavish, his dog, was as important to him as a queen. Inami, or another possibility, shoyis shiva b'makum shegel. He made it sit to his right hand. We just said before, nitzva shegel. Yeah, like his right hand, the queen, your right hand. So here we have the dog sitting at his right hand. Yeah. Either way, the point is, so we see again that it was Hechmet, that he went bad. Ibaisema, or possibility number four, Menolan da Achmet, where do we see that he went bad? Mehacha, from the following pasuk. This is, as we said before, a year after the second Bais HaMikdash was finished, Ezra started coming up from Babel, he got there a year and a half after the Bais HaMikdash was finished. With Ezra, Dayavish sent a letter giving Ezra authority to accomplish what he needs to in Eretz Yisrael. And along with that, he gives instructions, supplementary instructions for what's to be supplied for the needs of the Bais HaMikdash. He says as follows: Ad kesef, ad ksaf kikrin meya, up to 100 kikr of silver, v'ad chintin kurin meya, and up to 100 kur of wheat, v'ad chamar batin meya, and up to 100 batim of wine. A bas is a measurement that they used in those days. It's equal to 3 saw. V'ad batin meshach meya, and up to 100 bas of oil. Umelach deloy ksav kula, and salt without any mention. In other words, salt, there's no limit. So what's the problem? Mi'ikra b'leketusa. Originally, in the previous, the pasuk that he brought at the beginning of the Amud, he didn't give any limits. All of a sudden now he's getting cheap. He's tightening his belt. He needs to make a budget. So we see he went bad. Mar says that one's not such a proof. But Dilma mi'ikra b'leketusa b'leketusa. Maybe originally he didn't know what the amount was. So whatever the kainim said. Now a couple of years later, he's smarter. He knows, you know, he knows practically speaking what they've been using every year. So now he can say that.
Say, come on, now he's putting
some. No. It's just before he didn't know how much they're going to need. He doesn't know. He doesn't. Now he knows. So now he can say, for example, up to 100 kor of wheat, because I know for a fact by now they've been sending me the expenses, the expense reports every year. I know that they use 100 kor every year. So you can't say that's a problem. I think Moses said, you're right. It's clear that we have to answer like one of the previous answers, that either it's that he was giving the tzedakah originally not l'shem shemayim, or that or the business about the wood in the wall, or the business about the dog. One of those three, one or another of those three, tells us that hechmet. And therefore, the bottom line is, once hechmet, they consider him like a regular goyish king, and they started counting his years from Tishrei again.
How much is a quart?
A kor is, it's 30, a kor is, what is it, 30 saw. It's really a measure of volume rather than of weight, but it's
in a room.
Put it this way, if you think of the volume of a person, the volume of a person officially is 40 saw, that's why you need 40 saw for a mitzvah. A quart is 30 saw, so you're talking three quarters of the volume of a box that would fit a person.
So it's almost 75 people.
Yeah, that's it.
but it's nothing. You had 127 medinas.
That's okay, but still, you know, but still,
100 cores for him.
Okay, but still, you know, I mean, after a while, he figured out that's how much they need for their. We're not talking about private carbonus. We're talking about for the carbonus tiber. It's a hackle, you know. Maybe they figured out that's all they need.
Could have said, I'm not giving you anything.
That's yeah.
I'm not giving you
anything. The rest came from the people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also true, right? Yeah, I mean, after all, everybody had to give Max the shekel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he could have said, you know, build it, but don't expect anything from me.
So that's true. Okay. The fact that he gave something is, Okay, going back to the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah said that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'lur golim. So the malachim we just got done discussing, now comes v'lur golim. And that's what he meant. Golem b'echa b'nissan hu. There's no regular on the first of Nissan. V'chamish also b'nissan hu. The first of the golem is on Tesvav Nissan, Pesach. Amar Rav Chista, right. That's what it means. Regal shaboy Rosh Hashanah l'malachim golem. The regal that is in the month that begins Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we're mentioning Rosh Chodesh Nissan because it's the Rosh. It includes the whole month. But we mean the Yom Tov that starts in that month on the 15th is the Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, is the first of the Regalim. What's the Nafkamina? What's the practical difference? What order you can't be Yom Tov? I mean, L'Neder, as far as somebody who makes a Neder to bring a Korban, or any of a number of things that we're going to talk about now, L'Meikim Alei B'Val Ta'achar, When do we count when he's going to be over on the mitzvah Baal Ta'achar? The Torah says in Parashat Kisetze, Kisido Neder, we're going to quote the pasuk tomorrow, Kisido Neder L'Hashem Alekecha, if you make a Neder to Hashem, Lois Ta'achar L'Shama, you should not delay in paying it off. You know, Yidoshu Deshenu, etc. So we see that the mitzvah Lois says in the Torah not to delay in bringing your Kabbonis. What's considered a delay? That we need to figure out. Vidab Shimini. No, it's a Vidab Shimini.
We
touched on Baal Ta'achar. We touched on it in Sukkah, but we didn't really get into it. Actually, we touched on it in Beitza, rather. This Braitha that we're going to quote now, we mentioned in Beitza. V'Rab Shimoni. So our Mishnah, when it says that there has to be a Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, in other words, that the Regalim has to be in a certain order to be over on Baal Ta'achar, that would be according to R'Rab Shimoni. The Tanya, we learn in a Braitha. Echad Anoider, whether a person makes a Neder, such as that he says, Rashi says, he says, Domai Olai, my value as an Eved, is I'm donating to the Bismikr, so then they have to figure out how much would he be worth as an Eved, and that's how much he owes. So a person makes such a Neder. Ve'echad Amakdish, or someone declares something regular Hekdish, to Bedek Abayit. Ve'echad Amarich, or a person declares an Erech, like in this way at the end of this week's Parsha, V'hoya Erkefa Shloishim Shaka, Chamishim Shaka, whatever the amounts are, according to age and gender.
What's the difference between Makdish and Marich?
Makdish means you're donating something to Bedek Abayit. I'm donating my car to Bedek Abayit. Marich is a person says, for example, I promise to pay my erech to the Beis Mikdash. The erech does not depend on the person's actual value. There's a table in Parshas B'chukotai, depending on the person's age. If they're between 30 days and 5 years old, it's 5 shekel for a boy and 3 for a girl. Between 5 and 20, it's 10 or 20 shekelim respectively, etc. You look it up and you pay that amount.
And Makdish is more than the erech.
Makdish is, it could be more, it could be less. Makdish is, I could be saying, I'm donating this thing of cookies to the Beis Mikdash. You know, what is it worth? You know, $2. You know, $5. You know, Kivin sha'avir olav gimel regalim. Once 3 regalim pass over b'al ta'ach, and he did not bring it to the Beis Mikdash. Over b'al ta'ach, then he's over on this issur of b'al ta'ach. Reb Shimon Omer, it's not necessarily 3 regalim. Gimel regalim kesidron. It has to be 3 regalim in order. V'chagamat is tchila, and Pesach comes first. Thus, we see that according to the Chachamim, there's no reason to have a Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, any regal that you make the Neder before you start counting from that regal. But according to Reb Shimon, you need a Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim. There has to be a first, a second, and a third. V'chein hoy Reb Shimon ben Yechoyah. And thus, Reb Shimon ben Yechoyah, who is the same Reb Shimon, Stam Reb Shimon in the Gemara means Reb Shimon ben Yechoyah, he used to say, Regalim, the Yom Tovim, Pa'amim Gimel, Pa'amim Dalet, Pa'amim Chamisha. Sometimes you have 3 Yom Tovim before you have to bring your Neder, sometimes 4, sometimes 5. Ketzad, Nodder Lifnei Pesach Gimel, if you make your neder before Pesach, or meaning actually any time between Sukkot and Pesach, you only have 3 Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. If you don't bring it by the end of Sukkot, you've been over on Baal Ta'achar.
Before Pesach.
Lifnei Atzeres Chamisha, if you make the neder before Shavuos, you have 5, Shavuos, Sukkot, and then Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. You have a year and a half to bring it. Lifnei Achag Abar, if you made the neder sometime between Pesach and Sukkot, then you have 4, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot.
Until you come back to
3 regalim beginning with Pesach. Yeah. So now the Gemara is going to start discussing this whole concept of Baal Ta'achar. This sugya of Baal Ta'achar is going to take up the next couple of blocks. We're going to be on it until Daf Zayin. We're going through all the details of Baal Ta'achar. Tananabonim, we learn in a Braisa. Chayove hadomim, people who are chayev to give domim, again, we said where a person says domai olai, my value as an eved, I'm donating to this mikdash. Well, erchin, or a person who's chayev and erech, like we just said. Hacharomin, we said at the end of, we were learning at the end of Beitza that a chayrim is kind of like a stronger kind of hektish. There's actually, Rashi said there's two kinds of chayrim, actually. They're called chayrim gavoya and chayrim koyanim. Chemer Gavoya goes to Berek Abayis, Chemer Koyanim goes to the Koyanim, and then it's considered Chulim once they receive it.
What?
Rashi says we're talking about Chemer Gavoya. Tosfos says we're talking about both kinds.
Gavoya and Berek Abayis.
Gavoya, no, Gavoya and Koyanim. Gavoya goes to Berek Abayis, Koyanim goes to the Koyanim.
What's Damim?
Damim again means the person says, I promise to pay my value to the Beis Mikdash.
So that's different from Erech?
That's different from Erech. Erech is, for example, I'm between 20 and, I'm a male between 20 and 60, so therefore my Erech is 50 shekel, the Torah says. On the other hand, when it comes as an Eved, maybe I'm worth 30 shekel, maybe I'm worth 100, maybe I'm worth a half a shekel. Yeah. Depends on my physical condition and what I'm capable of doing, etc., you know. As opposed to the Erech is a fixed value, yeah. That's Vachar.
So the Erech was adjusted by the Damim, or
not? No.
It was different.
No, it's a completely different thing. That's what I'm saying. An Erech is fixed. There's a fixed table in the Torah. There's eight possible values for Erechin, depending on your age and depending on your gender. And that's it.
And a Damim is...
it varies from person to person. Your Damim could be different than mine, which is different than his. Okay. Our Erech would all be the same, because we're all males between 20 and 60.
Yeah. So the Damim is according to social status?
No, not necessarily. It's just it's what you're worth as an Eben. No, what you're worth as an Eved. If you were to be sold as a slave, how much would somebody be willing to pay for you? So it depends, you know, if you only know how to play video games, you're not worth very much to him, you know, Mashenkin, you're the next Bill Gates or something, then you're worth a lot more, yeah. So that's v'acharomin, v'hakdeshes, regular hektish, chatois v'ashomis, oilus v'shlomim, tzedokus v'maisris, and also if a person pledges tzedokah or maiser. Rashi says over here that Tosfos says over here that the maisris we mean over here is maiserishin, maisersheni, maiseroni. You give them from your crops every year, but you have a certain deadline by which you're supposed to give them to the aniyim. Now there's a famous thing called bir maisris, where you're entitled to hold on to them for some time, and you only have to get rid of them erev Pesach of the fourth and seventh year of Shemitah. So there's a few possibilities, Tosfos says over here. One possibility is that you don't have to take off Maaser from your crops at all. You're entitled. I don't want to eat these crops yet. I want to keep them in my barn for a time. Fine, I don't have to give Maaser from them yet. Eventually, by Pesach of the fourth and seventh year, you have to give that Maaser, and you have to give it to the respective people, the Levim, the Aniyim, etc.
But that year, or all the ones that have...
No, all the ones that have accumulated. But what we're talking about over here, when we say a maaser, that you have a deadline, about acher, is if you separated the maaser, then you have only three regalim or two or whatever the different possibilities are. Yeah. And that's one possibility. Tosfos brings a few others, yeah. Anyway. That's umaisers. Bechor umaiser Pesach, a korban bechor umaiser, here we mean maaser behema, and the korban Pesach. Lekat shikopeya, and lekat shikopeya, the man of Anim. All of those things, kivin sha'ovra alein shloisha regalim, once three regalim pass, and you have not given them to whoever's supposed to be getting them, over baltacha, then you're over on baltacha. Now, what do you mean, like a chitcha and peya? I mean, you're supposed to leave them in the field. What do you mean, what kind of deadline of three yom tovim? So, again, Tosfos brings a few possibilities. One of them, for example, is that you suppose you didn't give peya. You're supposed to give peya while the crops are still standing. That's in these days, three parakim of Rambam. But if you didn't, yeah, and you ended up harvesting the whole field, you still have to give peya. But then you have the three-year golem deadline. Another possibility is, let's say you left them in the field, then the aniyim come and take them, yeah. Another second possibility, Tosfos says, is let's say there's no aniyim around. You're not expected to leave it out in the field for the birds to eat. So then, by all means, yeah, you take the whole thing indoors until you can find aniyim. But you have three-year golem to do that. And Tosfos brings the third. Possibility is that you collected them for a particular ani. You collected them for the sake of giving them to a certain army. Anyway. So that's Svira Golem, that's the Tanakhama. Rab Shimon Omer, Shlosha Regalim Kisidron, and that's the Svira Golem in order, as we just said. V'chagamach is Tchila, and Pesach is first. So Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and therefore, if it was any time after Pesach that you did it, then you have a longer deadline. Rab Meir Omer, Kivin Shava, Alein Regal Echad over Baltachar. Rab Meir says, once one Yom Tov passes, you're over on Baltachar. Rab Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Kivin Shava, Alein Shnei Regalim over Baltachar. Rab Elazar ben Yaakov says two.
One, two, and three.
Right. And a fifth opinion, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon Omer, Kivin Sha'over Alein Chag HaSukkos Over Alein Baltacha. Once Sukkos passes, and you're Over Alein Baltacha. Meaning he's different than his father. His father, Rav Shimon, is saying you have anywhere between 3 and 5 Yom Tov. You always have to have Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon is saying no. You do always have to have Sukkos, but it doesn't necessarily have to Pesach and Shavuot before. If you made the Neder Erev Sukkos, you have only to the end of Sukkos to bring it. And otherwise, you're Over Alein Baltacha. Mashenkin, you made the Neder before Pesach, then you have Pesach Shavuot and Sukkos.
Why would he say this from his father?
Why not? He's allowed to argue with his father. We're gonna bring the first thing Gemara is gonna go through over here. We'll do most of the discussion today, and then we'll continue tomorrow of where all these different Tanoim learn their different opinions from. So that's the Gemara is gonna start with. My time at the Tanakhama. What is the Tanakhama's reason why he's a Sholosh Regalim, but not in order? He says like this: Mechti Minayu Solik. The Pasuk has just finished talking about them, meaning, where does the Torah talk about the idea that when you come into the Beis Mikdash, you have to bring your korbanos? That is in Parshas Re'eh, in Kol HaBachor, and in what we read on the last days of each Yom Tov. The Pasuk says over there, the Pasuk describes over there Chag HaPesach, Chag HaShavuot, Chag HaSukkot. Then it says at the end, Sholosh Pamim Hashana Yeroch Chol Tzchuchos, 3 times a year, all your males have to come to the Beis Mikdash. What are those 3 times? B'chag HaMatzot, B'chag HaShavuot, B'chag HaSukkos. Yes. So the Tanakhama says like this. Look, Mechti Minayu Solit. Let's consider. The Pasuk has just finished talking about them. The Pasuk has finished describing what Pesach is, what Shavuot is, what Sukkos is. Lomali Lamedu Mechti, B'chag HaMatzot, B'chag HaShavuot, B'chag HaSukkos. Why does it have to repeat? Just say, Sholosh Pamim, B'Shona Yeroch, Olzmocha. And we know the Sholosh Pamim is the 3 Yom Tovim we just described. Shmamin Ola Baltacher. It must mean, why is the Torah repeating it to tell us that you need 3 Yom Tovim for Baltacher? But not necessarily in order. V'Rav Shimon Omer, and Rav Shimon says, I agree with that, but I go a different way. When you think about it, even if, let's argue for example, maybe the Pasuk has to mention Pesach and Shavuot. It's fine, you know, those were a few Pesachim ago, those were a couple of Aliyahs ago, maybe you forgot about them. But Sukkot, we just finished talking about, Yisach Sameach, and the very next Pasuk is Shalosh Pam Vashana. So what do you have to mention Sukkot? Shabbat Dibra Kosev, the Pasuk is talking about that. Lama Nema, Loimash is Achron, it comes to tell us that that's the last one. So I agree with the Tanakhama that you need all 3 of them, because it says Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. But also, the very fact that it has to say Sukkot, even if it has to say Pesach and Shavuot, it did not have to say Sukkot, teaches us that they actually have to be in that order, with Sukkot last. Rav Meir, my time, and then Rav Meir, where does he get his idea that it's 1 Yom Tov? If he says from a different pasuk in Parshas Re, at the beginning of Re, Uvasa Shama Vahavesim Shama, the pasuk says you should come there to the Beis Mikdash and you should bring there your kabbonis. So as soon as the first opportunity you have to come, the first regal, then you got to bring them. And if not, Baltacha. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan, meaning all the other Rabbanan in the Braisa who disagree, would say, Hahula Esther. We agree, of course, that's what the pasuk says, but that doesn't mean you're over on Baltacha. It means you're over on a mitzvah's Esther at that point. The difference is that you're being over on a mitzvah's Esther versus a lois Esther. You don't get malchus for Baltacha because it's a lav shein b'maisa. But there's a difference between whether you've been over on Esther or a lois Esther. You know, we learned at the end of Yuma, for example, a person is over on a mitzvah's Esther, he can do tshuva right away, and the Eibishter forgives him. Mashenka lois Esther, we said he has to wait till Yom Kippur for his final kapara.
He cannot prepare it.
So that's the Alter Rebbe. We said then, the Alter Rebbe talks about the beginning of Yigeres HaTshuva, that in a way violating a mitzvah's Esther is more severe because you can never make it up. The opportunity is gone. More slowly, hold this going. On the other hand, that when it comes to repairing your relationship with the Eibishter, a loisa says a lot more serious because you actually failed to do something. In this case, failed to do something that the Eibishter told you, as opposed to you didn't do something that yeah. Vira Meir, and her Meir would answer back, Kivin Domele Rahmana Aisi, Velay Aisi, once the Torah tells you, you have to bring it, that first Yom Tov, and you didn't bring it, Memele Kamalei B'Valtacha, then automatically that means, in other words, the Pasuk is saying that you're late. You were supposed to bring it Uvasa Shama Vavesim Shama, you didn't, then you're late already, then Valtacha. I don't know hold of this difference between an Esa and a Loitza Se. But so far we've explained 3 of the opinions. That's her Meir. Vira Belaz Ben Yaakov, my time, what about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Where did he get 2 Yom Tovim from? Because the pasuk is Eila Tasu LaHashem B'Mayadechem. These are what you should do for Hashem on your Yomim Tovim, plural. Miut Mayadim Shnayim. The minimum of Mayadim means 2. And the pasuk, what is the pasuk saying over there? Ela tasu l'Hashem amayadechem. The pasuk is actually talking about there.
You can say it is more than two.
No, it could be more, but at the minimum, it's two.
We have three. Amradim means.
I understand, but the word mayadim, the fact that it says mayadim in plural means, as the Gemara is going to say later, tefasta merubalai tefasta, and we'll have that soon. But the pasuk there, when it starts off, Ela tasu l'Hashem amayadechem, is actually talking about the official korbanos of the Yom Tovim, the korbanos chayva, the korbanos sibur. But then the pasuk continues, levad min nidrechem min nidrechem, besides for your nidorim and nidavet. So we see nidorim and nidavet also are associated with this mayadechem thing. So therefore, then it's two. Miyud mayadim shnayim, the minimum of mayadim means two, so therefore two. Dvir rabbanan, and what are all the other rabbanan answer to that? They answer, ahu l'chidur Rabbi Yoina. They use that pasuk, Ela tasu l'Hashem amayadechem, for what Rabbi Yoina teaches us. All the Yomim Tovim are compared to each other. By this word, b'mayadechem, means that all the Yomim Tovim are considered in one category. The chatois that are brought on all of them are mechaper for cases involving tumah of the Beis Mikdash or kodshim. The Mishnah describes at the beginning of Shavuos, there's a machlokes tanoim over there, and the Gemara discusses it there quite a bit. The various chatois, we know that the chatas brought every Rosh Chodesh, and then the chatas brought every one of the Yom Tovim. Every one of the Yom Tovim, there's Sir Izimach of the chatas. What are all these chatois for? There's a couple of different opinions over there about exactly what cases they're mechaper for, but the idea is they're all mechaper for Tumas Mikdash Bekotchev. You can have the case where, sometimes you have a case where a person has to bring his own personal chatas for it. That would be a case, we talked about this back in Yuma, that a person knew at one time that he was Tomei, then he forgot and went into the Beis Mikdash. He forgot that he was Tomei, he forgot this was the Beis Mikdash, whatever it is. Later on, he remembered. It's called Yediya B'Tchilo V'Soif V'Helem Entayim. Then he has to bring a carbon Olav Yod, his own personal carbon. But if, then you have the various cases. You have the case where he knew originally that he was Tomei, but then he forgot and he never remembered again that he had gone into the Beis Mikdash while he was Tomei. Or you can have the other way around, that he never knew at the beginning he was Tomei. He went into the Beis Mikdash, we ate Kodshim. Later on, he found out that he was Tomei. Somebody told him, let's say. And then you have... Or then there's yet another possibility. You can have the possibility where a person is Tomei and he never knows. He never knew at the beginning and he never knows at the end. So those different cases are what the various one of the sort of Yom Kippur and Mechaper. For one of them we learned about in Yom Kippur. So the Seirim of Rosh Chodesh and all the Yom Tovim are Mechaper for that kind of thing, for certain of those cases. That's what we're saying. There's a hekesh in B'moyadechem that all the Moyadim are in one category. As far as that goes, all of the Chatoris go to the same purpose. So therefore, we don't have it available to teach us how many Yom Tovim you need for Baal Tacha. V'Rav Elazar v'Rav Shimon in my time. Okay, how about Rav Elazar v'Rav Shimon? What's his reason? Why does he say that it always has to end with Sukkos, but it can be one, two, or three Yom Tovim? Titania, we learn in a different braisa. Rav Elazar v'Rav Shimon, same logic as his father, Rav Shimon, used. It shouldn't have to say Chag HaSukkos, because the pasuk had just finished talking about it. Lama Nemar, Lama Shazagurim. Why does it say Chag HaSukkos? To tell us that one is the key. Once Chag HaSukkos passes, then you're over on Baal Tacha. No, so before we said according to Rav Shimon, combined together this with the argument of the Chachamim. He said, the fact is, the Torah does list all three Yom Tovim. But specifically, it also mentions Sukkos, even though it shouldn't have had to. So putting those two things together tells us you need at least three Yom Tovim, and Sukkos has to be the last one. Actually, the Rabbi Hanan seems to have a different girsa, that in Rav Shimon's argument, that the Pasuk should not have had to say, but Chag HaMatzos first. Because we know Chag HaMatzos is the first of the Yom Tovim that are listed in that parasha. So again, therefore, it tells us Chag HaMatzos has to be first. And if Chag HaMatzos has to be first of the three, then necessarily Sukkos is the last one. That's Rav Shimon. Now, okay, so now we've covered where each of them gets their opinion, but now we've got to see what do each of them do with each other's sukkim. So, Rav Meir, Rav Elazar, Rav Yaakov, Hai v'chag ha-matzos, v'chag ha-shvus, v'chag ha-sukkos, my darshuv, eh? What do Rav Meir and Rav Elazar and Yaakov do with the words v'chag ha-matzos, v'chag ha-shvus, v'chag ha-sukkos? Tanakama says it means three Yom Tovim in any order. Rav Shimon says it means three Yom Tovim in order. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon says it means sukkos last. What are the other two opinions, the one and the two Yom Tovim? What are they doing with that? They say, Miboilu l'chud Rabbi Lazar Amar Rabbi Oshia. They need it for what Rabbi Lazar taught us in the name of Rabbi Oshia. D'Amar Rabbi Lazar Amar Rabbi Oshia. Minayim la'atzeres shiyesh tashlum in kol shiva. How do we know that Shavuot, you have a time to make up the karbonos of it all 7 days? Pesach and Shavuot, so each Pesach and Sukkot are each 7 days long. If you didn't bring your Olas Re'iyah and your Shamash Chagigah the first day, you can bring it the second, the third, etc. Shavuot is only 1 day. How do we know that you have tashlum in for that also? That's why the pasuk puts all the three Yom Tovim together. Makash, Chag HaShavuot, Chag HaMatzis. It's making a comparison between Shavuot and Pesach. Ma Chag HaMatzis, yes, it's a Shulman Kol Shiva. Just like Pesach, you have the Shulman, you can bring the korban all 7 days. Av Chag HaShavuot, yes, it's a Shulman Kol Shiva. The same way Shavuot, you have all 7 days.
7 days after the first day.
7 days including the first day.
Including.
That is why. That is why we don't say Tachnun during the days after Sukkot, after Shavuot. We don't say Tachnun until and including Yud Beis Sivan, because counting from Vav Sivan and ending with Yud Beis is 7 days.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah. I think we're asking Sukkot. Why are you making the hekesh between Shavuot and Pesach? Make it instead between Shavuot and Sukkot. Malchal and Shmona, Abkan Shmona. Sukkot is 8 days long, including Shmini Atzeres. So with Shavuot, you should have until Yud Gimel Nissen. The answer is
no.
Instead of Yud Beis, you should have 8 days instead of seven.
You make the seven.
Why aren't you making the Hekesh with Sukkot instead of with Pesach?
The answer is 8 days.
Pesach is 7 days in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Beis Hamikdash is.
Right. And Sukkot.
Sukkot is seven plus Shmini Atzeres. It's eight. When it comes to Tashlumin, you actually have 8 days to bring your korban. If you didn't bring it the first days, you can still bring it Shmini Atzeres.
That's right.
The answer is Shmini Regel B'fnei Atzmeh. Shmini Atzeres is considered a Yom Tov Ritzon. Amar Damin, Shmini Regel B'fnei Atzmeh, they need Pazak Kashav. Yes, we say that Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov Ritzon as far as the six things Pazak Kashav we learned about in Sukkot. We learned about in Sukkot about this. It has a pious of its own because they would have to make a pious because there's not enough korbanos to go around among the mishmaris. It's zman that you say shechiyanu on it. Regel b'fnei atzmai in the sense that in regel b'fnei atzmai in the sense it's not called chag Sukkot or Tosfos was said over there in the sense that it's mevatel avelus. Pious zman regel kuf is korban that it had a korban of its own. It didn't follow the pattern of Sukkot. Shir that had a shir of its own, unlike all the shir that the Levim sang in the Beis Hamikdash. We learned at the end of Sukkah that each day they would sing a shir that has something to do with the Eivishta punishing the Goyim for harassing us, or reminding people that you have to give matnas aniyim. Don't slack off on that. The one of Shmini Atzeres has nothing to do with that.
Shir was to remind them
they should give matnas aniyim because Sukkot is the time for it. Yeah.
And what else did it remind them?
And the other thing was it talked about the goyim, how the Hashem will punish the goyim for having harassed us. We learned about it at the end of the
Sukkot. Yeah, but what did they have to remind them that?
They didn't have to remind them that, but there's different days. They had different songs that were on these. Those were the major themes of them. Shmini Atzeres is not one of those themes.
Right.
Actually,
right.
Some Mefarshim also say that, Tosfos says over here that the difference is also, the other days of Sukkot, we learned there, each day they would only say a half of a kapitel each day, as that shir. They would split up a kapitel among 2 days. Shmini Atzeres had a kapitel all to itself. So that's the shin. And days is bracha, which is a few different explanations of what it means. Rashi says over here that it means that they would give a special bracha to the king. As a remembrance of what they did in Shlomo a lot of times when they were leaving after Chanukah Abayis, which was that time of year. There's other explanations also that it means that you say Shmini Atzeres in the bracha instead of Sukkot, etc. Anyway, so Shmini Atzeres is the regular B'fnei Atzmeh as far as those six things. Aval in Tashlumin, but as far as make up for the Karbonos, which is what we're dealing with over here, Divrei Hakel Tashlumin Derishinu. Everybody agrees that it's Tashlumin of the first day. Tisnan, we learn in a Mishnah, Mishle Chag Yom Tov Derishin Chag, somebody who did not bring his Chagigah on the first day of Sukkot, Chagigah is Kol HaRegel, they can bring the Karbon, the whole Sukkot, V'Yom Tov Achon Chag, and also Shmini Atzeres. So what are you telling me then? You want to make a hekesh between Shavuot and Pesach and say you only have 7 days. Make a hekesh between Shavuot and Sukkot and say you have 8 days. The answer is tefasta merubala, tefasta more tefasta. Because if you grab a hold of a lot, you don't have anything. We learned this at the beginning of Sukkot. If you grab a little, you have. Meaning, in other words, like if you have a choice between comparing it to seven or to eight. You're going to compare it to eight. Where's your raya? But at least compare it to seven. Okay, we know it's at least seven. For sure, it's seven. Yeah, maybe you could argue it's eight. We don't have any definitive proof of it. But you definitely... No, but you know at least it's got to be seven. So therefore, better to compare it to Pesach, where we know at least that's what you have. So we said we'll continue tomorrow about Sushem. So we said we're trying to compare Sukkos to Pesach. So then the question is, according to this opinion, so why are we writing Sukkos? Let the pasuk just say b'chag hamatzot, b'chag hashavuot. You don't need Sukkos at all. So we'll continue with that tomorrow about Sushem.